إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, I want to remind myself and you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who believe, enter into Islam completely and fully and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, because he is your avowed and open and clear enemy. The issue is of doing something with complete commitment, total commitment, without any holding back anything. If you see, there are so many of the videos of lions hunting and leopards hunting and so on. If you see those videos, you will see one very clear thing, which is that when the lioness locks onto an animal, there may be a million other animals running in the same herd, but she will not go for the wildebeest or the zebra which is running next to her, but she is going behind the one which is running in front of her. So if she is fixed on one, she locks on it, and then she is not distracted whatsoever by anything else. Second thing is, when she attacks, there is no halfway to it. There is one video which is so amazing, where this lioness leaps on the back of the zebra, grabs it by the top, by the neck, and then she has her leap is so strong that she actually somersaults. And she goes, you know, in front of the zebra. The zebra falls on top of her, but her grip has not left. Her grip is still there. She is still holding the neck of the zebra, even though she is somersaulted. She is on her back, the zebra has fallen on top of her. Still, she has not let go of her grip on the neck of the zebra. Now, this is the meaning of commitment. Same thing in martial arts. When you are into the attack, it is 100% commitment. 99% commitment will not get you that result. At 99 degrees, water is hot. At 100 degrees, it boils. Boiling water produces steam. Steam can power an engine. At 99 degrees, nothing will happen. The water is only hot. At 100 degrees, it will pull an engine. And that is the difference. The reason I'm saying is because I've been watching last couple of days some very nice videos about the International Space Station. And I strongly recommend you watch them. Azhar has put them on the groups also. You must put it if you haven't put it. The International Space Station is run by 15 countries. It's a collaborative effort of 15 countries. And if you read the names of those countries, some of them are actually at war in the world. I mean, for example, Russia and America are both there, right? And you know the issue of Russia and America and for how many decades. But on the International Space Station, there is complete and total collaboration with regard to research, with regard to sharing of information, sharing of data, collective effort. Living together in confined spaces, and the International Space Station has been inhabited from 2000 onwards, so 13 years or 14 years of continuous habitation in low orbit of the Earth. Now, a couple of things that struck me. First of all was this one, which is that we are a nation which cannot even decide and cannot even come to an agreement on whether we should raise hands, after ruku in Salah, and whether we should move our finger in Tashahud or not. We are still fighting about that. Whereas here are people who are collaborating for research in space, right? And it's not that they don't have differences. They have differences. They have differences to the extent that they have intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs aimed at each other, which can annihilate their entire populations. So it's not a small difference, right? It's a major, major issues. They've been spending billions of dollars trying to destroy each other in the world, which is absolutely insane behavior. But the point is that they are able to put aside this insane behavior for things which will benefit them. But we have problems with that. Okay. Second thing which struck me was that this International Space Station is orbiting the Earth at a speed of 7.6 kilometers a second, which means that they orbit the Earth 16 times in a day. Now, that means that they take about 90 minutes per orbit. So that's about 16 orbits per day. Now that means that they are seeing 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets every day. And there are recordings of them talking. And one of them says that the most amazing sight is to see the sunrise from the International Space Station. What struck me was that 16 times a day, they see sunrises and sunsets. But not a single one of them says, Subhanallah. Not once. Because there is not a single Muslim on that. If you see the list of countries, Liechtenstein, I don't even know whether I'm pronouncing the name correctly. No one ever heard of the country. They're collaborating for that research. And our countries, we're buying gold-plated Cadillacs. We're buying colored rocks. We spend money on Christmas trees and Christmas cakes. And then we like to sit and talk about, oh, the development of Islam, Islamic science, Islamic scientific development powered the European Renaissance. SubhanAllah, I tell you, I sometimes regret that I have to make this Fajr reminder sitting in a masjid, because it seriously inhibits my language. What I should be saying here, I don't think there is a single letter, single word which has more than four letters, which I should be speaking out. Because of the place, I can't say it. My brothers, please, please, please understand. The golden eagle is a bird. Your fat chicken is also a bird. On this point, there is no difference. But golden eagles eat fat chickens, not vice versa. And why? Because a golden eagle lives on a mountain crag in a nest which it builds itself, and it braves sub-zero temperatures, minus 20 degrees. I've seen a video of that. Minus 20 degrees temperature, golden eagle sitting with a chick under it. It's completely covered in snow, totally. When it shakes his head, it comes out of the snow. And fat chickens live in controlled environments of heating and cooling. If you want quality, you have to invest. You have to invest. And you have to invest in the right things. It's not just throwing money behind buildings and this, all kinds of rubbish which we do. That will achieve nothing. Right things. My brother who lives in America, he tells me, his Jewish friends tell him that in their community, he says the highest paid teachers are primary school teachers. Highest paid. On their entire system, the highest paid teachers are teachers of primary schools. And you ask them, why do you pay a primary school teacher that kind of salary? He said, because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. That is where it starts. There's a video of a 10-year-old child speaking live to one of the astronauts on the International Space Station. And this 10-year-old child is asking the astronaut, when did you decide to become an astronaut? He said, when I was 10 years old in 1969, I saw Neil Armstrong take a step on the moon, and I said, I want to be that man. 10 years old. And he made a wonderful statement. And of course, none of you heard that statement before, right? The man says there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who try and succeed and those who try and fail. But he says, I don't know of anybody who succeeds without trying. So he decided, he said, I decided I'm going to be one who tries. Whether I succeed or I fail, I will try. Because I don't know of anyone who succeeds without trying. We have to invest money, time, energy behind the right things. There is no way that you are going to achieve greatness unless you commit completely and totally. No half-hearted attempts, no remote control, no throwing some money and then expecting somebody else to go and do the work. No way, it doesn't work, does not work. I want to end with another fact. Today is a fact day. I have to go to South Africa now. So, 1626. Between 1620 and 1640, two buildings were being built, two buildings in the world, between 1620 and 1640. One was Harvard University in America, and the other one was Taj Mahal in India. That also took money, this also took money. And that is why they have the world and we have the tombs. Stop fooling yourself, people. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. Because the day will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask this question. Allah will ask this question. I gave you assets. What did you do with them? Prepare the answer. Because you will answer to that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do what is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him, because there is no khair in that which doesn't please Allah, and there is khair only in that which pleases Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which will truly benefit us in this dunya wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.